Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
My debut book, Manifest, 7 Steps to Living Your Best Life, is out now, and you can order it from Amazon, Waterstones, or any other major bookshop. In this book, you will learn absolutely everything that you need to know about manifestation. You will understand that it really is a self-development practice to live by, to empower yourself, to step into your light, to become the best version of yourself that exists, and to attract anything you want into your life. I cannot wait for you all to read it. And if you love it, please don't forget to rate and review on Amazon, Audible, or wherever you purchased it from. Thank you so much and happy manifesting. Hello and welcome back to The Moments That Made Me with me, your host, Roxy Nafusi. Today, we have the absolutely gorgeous Lydia Millen on the show. Lydia is one of the UK's biggest digital creators with an Instagram following of over 1 million. I first met Lydia on a press trip to Marrakesh all the way back in 2016, and I am so, so excited to be speaking to her today in her first podcast interview in 2 years. Hi, Lydia.
Oh, you are so nice. Thank you so much
for coming on.
Do you know what is so funny? I was thinking to myself, I was like, is she going to remember that we went away together? Like, because I remember it so vividly, but you just never know with these things, especially like with our jobs, like you're here, there and everywhere meeting so many people. But I was saying to Ali the other day, I was like, oh, we had such a good time on that trip.
It was so cute. And Ali is just also the loveliest person. The two of you are just I just love you both.
Oh, thank you. I mean, obviously, I am literally your biggest fan. So the fact that I'm on your podcast right now is probably, like I said, I'm nervous.
Oh, you are so sweet. Well, look, you may know that we basically just jump straight in to the first defining moment.
Gosh, okay. I've had to think about this a lot. And I'm going back like quite a way in my life to when I was at university. I think it was the point when I realized that I wasn't going to let anything kind of stop me in life. I think it's when I realized I actually had tenacity, which is a bit of a word that I have at the moment, in that I kind of went the unconventional route to university. And when I was there, they wouldn't let me do the course that I wanted to do because I didn't have the grades to back it up. And so I was kind of in a point in my life where I was a bit sort of, I knew what I wanted to do. I didn't know how I was going to get there, but I knew that I was going to get there. And so whilst I was doing a degree that didn't fulfill me creatively, I then founded my blog by a way. It was sort of like a way for me to get my love of fashion out there into the world because I wasn't able to do it through my uni degree. And it was so weird now that I look back that even then, when I was that age, I knew to kind of just find another route. Every time, just find another route. Like, you don't have to stay still in your life. And there's a saying that I really love that's, I think it's like, I'm probably not going to do it any justice now, but it's like, you're not a tree, so you don't have to stay still. You can, that's probably not it at all, but it's along those lines.
I love it. You're not a tree.
You know where I'm going.
I do.
But it's, I never felt like I had to just accept what people said to me. So when I applied to go to university, they basically said, well, you know, you don't have the grades, but we can do it this way and you can get into uni that way. So I did it, but I knew that it wasn't just going to stop there. I was going to find another route to get to where I actually wanted to be in life and just keep evolving and moving around and getting over the obstacles that were in front of me.
Well, I absolutely love that. And I feel it's such a kind of manifesting moment as well, because you knew you wanted to do something, and you didn't allow yourself to stay confined by the limits that were around you. And I really believe in this. A kind of idea of finding another route, knocking down another door, building the door, you know, and so I'm just all for it. Now, how old were you? And because blogs, I'm really interested in this idea of you starting a blog, because at the time, my understanding is that it was still a relatively new thing to have a blog, right?
Oh yeah, this was like, it wasn't a career at this point. It was just a hobby. It was just something that I did because I used to work in a fashion shop, just a cute boutique in Watford where I grew up. And when I went to university, I wasn't doing that. So I felt really uninspired. And so I had to find this other way as an outlet for my love of styling outfits and fashion and trends and things like that. And it was so weird that it just kind of happened. And I loved it. I loved every moment of it. And then through that, it just evolved and kind of snowballed.
How long do you think it took for you to start to see that there was a change, that it stopped being so much of a hobby?
I would probably say it was about three or four years. I think it's such a hard one because I've been doing this a decade now. And so.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Even I feel like it's just nuts when I say it, that I've been doing this a decade. And it's, so when I think back, I'm like, was that then? Like everything sort of merges together. But
yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I remember the moment when I said to my dad, I was like, look, I think I'm going to leave my job. And I'm going to try and do, and I had like a mortgage at the time because I'd moved in with my now husband and I had a mortgage. So this was a big thing for me to do. And my dad was like, are you sure?
Were you two together all the way back then?
Yeah. So we met. So we've been together 9 years. So we're in our 10th year now.
Stop.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so cute.
Yeah, so it was just kind of one of those things that I just, and it's really funny because I mentioned this about now because I'm obviously mid reading your book at the moment, and I mentioned it in my video the other day, but I was like, I had always manifested, but I didn't know I was manifesting, if that makes sense. And I feel like obviously once you know, and you know exactly sort of like how to really manifest something, but I was manifesting my life through my work, and I always believed,
yes.
Like I never didn't believe that I was going to do something with this. I was always like, yeah, of course, like I of course I'm going to do this. Of course this is going to happen. There was never any self-doubt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Your self-belief is your superpower, and it just so is. Oh,
I love that.
It's that unwavering confidence, and that's what's so magnetic, and that really is, you know, that's step 7 of my manifesting guide, which is, yeah, so you are doing it. I love it. So then, Lydia, what was your second defining moment?
My second defining moment, I'd say it's very similar to the first, in that when it was kind of like around the middle area of my career. So I think it was after I'd met you, because I don't think I had a YouTube channel when I met you. I don't think I'd started. I think I was still just working on my blog at that point. Or maybe I did. I can't remember. But I had management. And the thing around this kind of time was that management was like the big thing. Like if you had management, as far as sort of like the industry was concerned, you'd made it. And I had management, and then it didn't work out. And I was crushed. Absolutely crushed, because I thought, oh my gosh, like what do I do now? where do I go? Because there wasn't huge amounts of talent management at the time. And I thought, I can't handle all of the emails myself. I can't handle these contracts. Like, this is not, you know, I'm a fashion blogger. I don't know how to read a contract. I don't know how to negotiate on these kinds of things. And the level of the contracts that it was moving in the way of, it was so overwhelming. And again, at that point, I was like, I'm either going to sink or I'm going to swim in this particular instance. And it hadn't really been done that much before, but I think I must have done it on my own. I must have persevered for around 3 months. And then I decided to make my own team, which wasn't something that I'd seen hugely. I didn't know if it worked. I didn't know the format that you would do to create a great team in any way, shape or form. But I decided I wanted to actually build something in-house. And that's when I first brought on my best friend to be my manager.
Oh God, I love that. It's so Entourage, which is like the best show ever.
So I brought her on. I stole her from working at ASOS. And it was really, really interesting for me because I feel like that was a real definitive moment in my career because it changed everything.
What way? And also, you must have felt very grown up at this point.
Yes.
Well, this is quite big.
I did until I had to show her the state of my like taxes because she had to help me get those in order. Like, this is all of the stuff that you just don't know about and you just kind of think it'll sort itself out. But she very much had to help me with getting all of that sorted as well. But it was the best decision I ever made. And this is something I feel really, really strongly about because I went through it in the industry. It's so important in this line of work that people are passionate about you and care about you, because if they don't, I think that it's tangible. And I actually think that the years of having that sort of big overarching like management conglomerate or whatever, I think that that's gone, and everyone is kind of trying their best to build teams in-house, because in what I do anyway, being a YouTuber as well, it's a lot of my life that's being put out there, and you need to make sure that the people that are working with you respect that and care about you and want the best for you, because it is a very, very personal thing that we're sort of sharing our entire lives with the world or the internet. And so that was a really big defining moment to have someone that cared so much about me and cared so much about what I was doing, but also wanted me to do really, really well and wanted to push me forward and supported me in everything. And her entire focus was on me. I wasn't sort of fighting for her attention like I was when I had management. And it really did just define me in navigating relationships as well, like in a personal sense, in a business sense. I work with my best friend. Whenever you say that to people are almost horrified, but actually it's taught me so much about relationships, so much about friendships, and so much about business as well.
What do you think would be kind of, I've got so many questions, but what would be the biggest thing that you learn about friendship and relationships from this?
The biggest thing that I learned about friendships is everything I thought I knew was crap. Basically, like when you're going through school and like your younger years, friendships are almost, for the most part, throwaway. Like you can be quite, you know, I've fallen out with this person all the time, or I'm not speaking to this person when you're quite young. And now that I've worked so closely with someone, and you realize that, first of all, you can't be so flippant with friendships in that way, but also learning the importance of communication in a friendship. And it really is like a almost like a romantic relationship. You have to show the same level of commitment, understanding, and also like space and things like that, just knowing when you you need to give someone their space, or when you need to be there for someone. And it is, that's the best thing that I can say, is that my relationship with my best friend is very, very similar in the sort of key pillars of my marriage as well. It's those really important pillars of trust, respect, care, all of those things go into making a really, really good friendship, and then being able to navigate it in a business sense as well.
Oh my God, that is so beautiful. And so true. I really like that, spoke deeply to me, I think, just about this idea that friendships do also require commitment and vulnerability as well. And I think that we forget those aspects of a friendship. But I think friends can be soulmates as well. So they require the same, intensity in a way, you know, that we need, that we put into our romantic relationships. Because also they offer us something that you'll never get from a romantic partner, or, you know, it's a completely different dynamic. Every relationship offers us something new. But yeah, I think coming to a friendship with that commitment and awareness and communication is life-changing.
Yeah, I completely agree.
What was the perception of brands and, let's say, other influencers or your audience? Well, I guess your audience, I mean, I'm sure they weren't really that aware of it, but or maybe they were. But how was that perception of you, and did it change when you went in-house?
I think at the time it was probably like a, oh, this is not the norm. Like there was probably about three main talent management companies that were really kind of where you wanted to sit in the industry. Now there's loads. But I did it at a time where it wasn't really a thing. And it was, I guess, probably an education, process as well, just letting them know that, hey, we're professional, just the same. And if anything, you're probably going to get quicker answers. And because she's passionate about me, she's fully on board. There's no sort of muddying the water with other talent. It's very much like, this is the goal. This is the process. This is how we do things. She knows me inside and out. And I think that it's a real kind of recipe for success in this industry. If your team can be passionate about you, I do think that it's a bit of a advantage.
Oh yeah, I feel like nobody will ever work as hard on you as you will yourself or your team. And that's why, to be honest, I'm with you. I've never had management or agents for that reason. Not that there aren't great ones out there, and it's not for everyone to do things in house. But I definitely am with you on that. I do. There is something very special about also sharing the excitement. You know, when something good happens, calling an agent who's got lots of other talent isn't the same as calling your team, be like, oh my God, we did it. Yeah. You know?
That's so true. That is so true. Although I do completely acknowledge that these first two have been quite like career focused. I promise that my third one is much more like personal development focused.
But oh no, I wanted to give a bit of both. I'm here for all of it. Career is a big part. I mean, it's a big part of our lives.
Hello, sorry to interrupt your podcast. We didn't do that. It's just been magically done for us. We do a podcast, which I think you might like if you like this podcast. Our podcast is called The A to Z of Men with me, Chris Brooks.
And me, Scott Robinson.
And what's the podcast about, Scott?
I mean, what we're doing really is giving you an insight, a delve into the male mind. We're going through the alphabet letter by letter. I submit a word, Chris submits a word, and we battle it out to see what word goes into the A to Z of Men.
And you can get us wherever you get your podcast from. Just search for the A to Z of Men.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's go to your third defining moment.
I feel like this is my biggest one, and I'm going to do my absolute best. I can already feel it now. I'm going to do my absolute best not to cry through this.
Oh, it's okay if you do.
And it's so weird because I can talk about this with my friends, but you know when you sort of start to talk about it with other people, it becomes like almost like you're reliving it again. But I feel like the last 2 years and COVID has been the biggest shift in who I am as a person. And I never imagined that that's like at the beginning, like back, what was it like the 23rd of March when we went into lockdown, when that happened, I was like, oh my God, this is great. Like I'm at home. I get to be at home because I was traveling like up to 3 times a month. And I was just here, there and everywhere. I never stopped. And all I ever wanted was to be at home. And so when it was like announced that we were going into this lockdown, I was like, oh, I'll be fine. Like, I'll be fine. And I so was not prepared, like so was not prepared for any of what was about to happen. And I look back now and I'm like, wow, like you got through all of that. And I'm so grateful. And I think that this is the thing that I've learned the most, is that you have to hit absolute rock bottom to change. And I know that you talked about this in your book, and I felt that so much like in my soul when you were saying how, you know, you came back and you'd been on this retreat and you felt amazing, and then you kind of got back into the same habits that you were in and you found yourself at like rock bottom. That was where I found myself. I went into COVID and I was on medication that sadly like can affect your mental health. And I'd been on it before and I'd been fine. And so I wasn't expecting it to affect me in that way. And then I started a brand, and I'd been working on this brand for 2 years. And I never say that this was a failure, because I know that if someone starting a business had had the start that I had had, it would have been life-changing for them. But it didn't go how I planned for it to go. And I'd never experienced that kind of thing before. And now I'm so grateful for it, but it was so hard at the time. It wasn't received in the way that I envisioned it. And it's really lovely, actually. My friend Charlie said to me when I was talking to him about it one day, he said, you know, the lovely thing about what you did is that you tried something different. And this is not me saying that, you know, if I was to just bring out some lipsticks or something, like that's a great place to start. And I probably should have done that. But I tried to do something different, and it didn't get received in the way that I hoped it would be received. And I learned from that. But it was a hard lesson to learn. And now I know so much, and I also know what I'm not good at, and I know what I'm not capable of and what I need to do better at. And so that was really interesting, in that I, at the time, it felt awful and catastrophic, But now, 2 years on, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy I went through that.
Because do you think that something like, because I'm sure that everybody with, I mean, anybody, but especially when you have an online presence, and I feel like sometimes things can feel like a popularity contest. Do you know what I mean? And so for something not to go well, even though there are 1,000 reasons why it might not be received in the way that you hoped, that really have nothing to do with you. They're just 1,000 reasons. But it must be very hard not to take it personally. I mean, I know I would, and I have in the past. And it is quite challenging on our ego and our feelings of what, you know, worthiness. And, you know, I think, and when you have a big, big audience, that must feel really challenging.
Oh yeah. And that was one of my issues, was that everything was about me. Like everything that ever happened, I made it about me. And it really, like, it wasn't, there's so many different factors, like you said, that come together to make something what it is, to make a situation what it is. But I took everything very, very personally. And that was something, a lesson that I had to learn, that not everything was about me. And I can't control how people perceive or receive me or receive things that I do all of the time or ever, if it were being really true. But it was just, it was a shock, and it sort of set off a chain of events. And it just felt like that whole 2 years just turned into like a whirlwind. And I lost my nonno, my grandpa during COVID, to COVID as well. I nearly lost two other people, and it felt like my world was just kind of like punching me down. And I actually did a YouTube video where I was like, it feels like every time I try and stand back up, the world is punching me down.
What did your rock bottom feel like mentally?
Oh gosh. It was like, and it's so weird, because when you experience it, you do think that you're the only person. And then I had somebody else explain it the other day, where they were like, I lost my joy. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I did. I lost my joy. I take joy usually out of so many things, but I lost it. And it was destroying me. And I can't even go and look back at old like YouTube videos, because I vlogged my life throughout this, and I probably should have taken time off, even just like 2 months. I probably should have done, but I didn't. And it's hard, because you get to that point where you're like, do I sort of regret the fact that I didn't take time off, or am I grateful because now I'm here, and here is so different? Because I, very much like the two sort of before, is that I realized, like my two defining moments before, I realized that I had to change, I had to adapt, and I had to grow. And sinking wasn't an option anymore. I'd spent the last 3 months in bed, that I had to sort myself out now. And that's what I went around trying to do for a while.
So how did you begin that journey upwards? You know, like, what were the steps you began to take?
Accepting help externally was a big one, but the right kind of help. And I think that was the thing. What I wanted to do is, I didn't want to just go and talk about things. I wanted to equip myself with the tools that I didn't have, because I knew that I didn't have the tools to function in the world that we were in now. It was, you know, especially being online, people were upset. It became quite a hostile place. I needed to learn how to exist and be able to do my job, but also not crumble every time something went wrong or something didn't go how I envisioned it. I needed to be able to cope. And that's when I was introduced to my life coach, which is what really kind of changed the game. And she ended up equipping me with some of the most earth-shattering tools that I've ever experienced.
God, I love this. Who is she?
I hope you've heard of her. And I hope, like, I feel like you would love her.
Sign me up.
Her name's Jacqueline Hurst.
Oh my God. Okay. I'm gonna look her up now. Well, after this, and I'm gonna find her. I'm gonna hire her. So I wanna ask you a bit about this is and firstly, I absolutely love that you've, you know, I don't know. I love the conversation about getting external help and being open to it. I feel like, not to be cliche, but in America, I think it's so much more like, I don't know, people just talk about it all the time. Whereas here, nobody even knows where to start looking for coaches or therapists because nobody is recommending them because no one's talking about it.
It's so true.
The more that people talk about it, actually, the more helpful it is for people because they have something to go off. You know, some people listening might have never even heard of a life coach. So I just think, thank you for sharing that. But I really want to ask you, and I hope it's okay, about trolls. Because I remember years ago you posted, oh my God, I'm actually going to get really upset. You posted some messages that people had sent you. And I was just like shook to my core. Like I really hadn't seen it. And oh my God, it makes me so upset. I feel so strongly against this behavior. Like it just breaks my heart that you would ever have to read those kind of things. And
you're literally making I literally... But that was what I couldn't continue on with. Like I couldn't continue because the first thing I said to Jacqueline when I spoke to her was, I can't continue like this. I can't absorb. I've got nowhere to put this negative energy anymore. And she was like, Lydia, why are you absorbing this? Why are you trying to hold on to this? Because this is not your energy to hold on to. And I was like, all these years, you know, 10 years in the game, and nobody had told me not to hold on to that. And so I was literally storing, every time someone said something to me, I was storing this. And I genuinely, especially after reading your book, I genuinely now look at that time, like when I posted those comments, I feel like I was inviting more of that into my world, because now I don't get anything. And genuinely, the moment that you shift your focus from negative energy to positive energy, it just disappears.
Oh, I love that. And so I'm so happy to hear that because, oh, I'm so happy.
But I genuinely think it's true because I remember I used to think to myself, like, why am I the only person that's getting this? Like, I'm not the only person with a YouTube channel. I'm not the only person with an Instagram. I'm not the only person that has, you know, started off at X and is now at this point in their career. So why is it that this stuff is in my world so much? And it's because I was focused on it and I was holding on to it. And that manifests itself in more of that. And
she knows.
But it's true. And I think that if anyone's kind of focus, if anyone is like feeling the same way as I did, where you just feel overwhelmed with negative energy from being online, and it doesn't just mean, you know, you're a YouTuber or an influencer or whatever, this can just be from people around you, family, friends, whatever. You can change it. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to exist in that world. And I always say that now my world is like this peaceful, harmonious place where people might try to bring that energy into it, but only I can take hold of that energy and bring it in. And so,
amen to that. Oh my God. I love that. I think that is so inspiring, especially, I just think it is so true because, you know, we cannot control anybody, and everybody's going to come to us with their own pain and their own insecurities and their own shit. And but we attach the meaning to it. Like, we attach what meaning we put to their words or to their actions. And when you take away the, when you change the meaning and you change it to mean nothing, that's when you grow and that's when you get freedom.
Yeah. It's also like looking at something and understanding what it is that you're like perceiving, because this is something that I learned through my life coaching sessions, was that like, look at the facts in every situation. And this is one thing I always say online, is that I only deal in facts now. Unless it can be proven, I don't want to hear about it. So when someone comes and says, oh, Lydia, you know, you live on another planet, that's not a fact. Like, that's an opinion. And so I go through every single comment, every single message or whatever, and my brain literally goes through like a Rolodex: opinion, 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 opinion. And until I find a fact, it's not for me to take on board.
Oh, I'm so inspired. I feel like I've just learned something really amazing.
But this is what I want to kind of get across with this, is that like, you don't have to, like, the internet can be an amazing place, and it is amazing. It's like, it's given so many people and so many women, especially, like, jobs and really cool, inspiring jobs and opportunities. But there is this side to it that we can't control, and we can't do anything other than control ourselves and learn the tools to be able to thrive in a world where there might be more negativity thrown at us. But it is possible. If I can do that, and if I can thrive now doing my job, anyone can. It's just a question of switching your focus and learning the tools and how to break down what is yours to hold on to and what isn't.
Oh, I love it. I'm so just over the moon. This makes me so happy, because I feel like everybody needs to hear this. So you had this rock bottom, you really had this like 2 years, you've got your coach, you've been learning like, you know, effective boundary setting, I guess, and self-protection. And what else is making you feel good at the moment?
I think that the things that are making me feel good are just like pursuing that, even just like picking up your book and learning more about manifesting. That I've never read a book on manifesting. I've never like explored the topic until your book. And so the continued journey of self-development, like, yes, I had a life coach. I don't have a life coach anymore. Now I'm my own life coach. And in order to keep moving forward in a way that I want to move forward, but whilst also, because I feel like this is one thing that we're always told not to do, but like, if you're always looking up, you're not looking down, and down is where the gratitude is, because that's where you've been and that's where you've come from and that's what you've got. Up, you don't have that yet. And so I always like to have a little bit of both and keep moving forward, but also remember to look back across everything that it is that I've achieved, whether that's just, you know, getting out of bed one day when I don't feel like it, but also career milestones, which I feel like so many people don't do. We live in a society where we're constantly looking for the next thing. And I've had to kind of slow that down as well.
Oh, I love that. In my book, not to talk about my book, but I talk about something called the manifesting. I talk about the manifesting sweet spot, which is about, and for me, the manifesting sweet spot is knowing where you want to go whilst being entirely grateful for all that you already have. Mm. So you really are a natural manifester. I have absolutely loved listening to your defining moments, Lydia. You're so, I feel so uplifted, genuinely. But before you go, I have some quick fire questions for you. First one is, what is your most memorable book?
Oh, no. Can I have three?
Yeah.
You're like, I'm inventing the rules now. Like, yeah. Okay. So number one is The Sweet Spot by Christine Carter, because that was my first ever book moving in the sort of self-development way, and it taught me about being productive and using my time efficiently. The second book is, I literally read it just before I started your book, which is Mo Gordat's Solve for Happy.
Oh, he's brilliant.
Have you read
that? That book is amazing. I read that book when I was, it was on my podcast, actually. That book I read when I was at my rock bottom, and it really helped me.
I feel like even for someone who's reading it, who feels like they've like come out of that and is on like a really good path, it has so much beneficial like teachings just about happiness. Like my favorite part is when he talks, I think he talks about like the 73-year-old lady, and she comes up to him and she's like, you can't make me happy because I've been through too much in my life. You don't know what I've been through. And then he turns around and he's like, when did this happen to you? And she was like, when I was 17. And so this lady spent her whole life sad over something that happened to her at the beginning of her life. So every day after that, that same thing has been destroying her and taking over her life until she's like 73 years old, and her whole life and energy has been spent on that. And that was such a moment where I was like, you have to learn to let everything go and move on from things, no matter how hard they are. You can't allow them to continually beat you down even after the event has happened.
Absolutely.
And then number three, obviously, I mean, I'm not finished on your book yet, but it's my first ever sort of movement into manifestation. And I feel like you explain it in a way that makes the whole process seem less sort of daunting and much more like bite-sized. You take it in bite-sized chunks and just easier to get a grasp on, and also incredibly inspiring.
You are so cute. I mean, you're literally my best sales person ever. I should hire you. Thank you so much. You're so sweet. Your favorite quote?
Ooh, my favorite quote. I have so many. I love a quote because I'm someone that struggles to communicate quite a lot. Like, I feel like I struggle to get my words out in the way that I want them to come out. And so quotes are, I just screen grab everything. But the one that I feel like really meant a lot to me recently was, and I'm so bad at getting these out in the way that they're intended, but it was like, I think she stepped out of the race that she never wanted to be in, and something about like going on and thriving.
And I love it.
I feel like that's something that I've really experienced since I've, you know, I learned so much about myself recently. And now I just feel like there is no sort of race or competition or anything like that. I'm just so happy following the path that I'm on with life. And it's just like my own little path. So that meant a lot to me.
Oh, you are just full of wisdom. Who is your most influential mentor?
It would be Jacqueline Hirst. And it was so funny when she said to me, like, who's like your sort of, who's your role model? And I was like, you are. This is my life coach, Jacqueline. But genuinely, like, she taught me so much about like calmness and like being a spiritual person whilst also being a sassy bitch. And I just... I look at her and there's so many people in my life that have gone on to see her, and we have these sayings where we're like, at this moment in time, I am Jacqueline-ing this situation in my head, because what would Jacqueline do?
I love that. Your go-to feel-good film?
Oh my God. I would say at Christmas time, I'm like not having one answer at any of these questions.
You do you, babe. I'm here for it.
At Christmas time, it would be The Holiday. But generally, I mean, I watched the Downton movie for the first time the other day and I cried before it even started.
Stop! So...
Guilty pleasure.
Okay. A moment where you felt most proud?
I'd say this last December. Like, I was proud of myself, I was proud of my husband, I was proud of my best friend, because usually December is a really tricky month in terms of like there's so much more in terms of work and whatever, and everything can get quite overwhelming, and we handled it all as a family, as friends, as a business really calmly. And I was just like, wow, this is new. We've not done this before. And it feels really
That's
nice.
Gross.
So yeah, it seems like quite a simple one, but I was really proud.
No, I love that. I really always think self-development is really like you get these moments where you go, oh my God, I did it differently. And that is such a good feeling.
Yeah. Like even just things that you've done your whole life. And then when you realize that you're navigating it with a different mindset, like a different head on your shoulders, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm actually implementing the stuff that I've yeah, been told.
It's working. A song that cheers you up.
I feel like I'm like losing all credibility here, but like I am someone that only really likes classical music, and that's just it just keeps me calm. Like I can't listen to like Radio One in the car. Like if I'm going out, I'll put on something that like gets me in the mood, but otherwise I'm overstimulated. So anything that just makes me feel calm and like at peace. So yeah, just classical music in general just does that.
So into that. Top tip for dealing with stress.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Oh God, I feel like I'm in for something good.
Oh God, I hope I don't disappoint. top tip for dealing with stress. I try and implement as much of, and it's something that my husband and I do a lot because we get stressed really easily, is just what can I do about the situation? Like when I look at a situation that's happening, if there's nothing that I can do to change it, then there's no point in me allowing that to disturb my peace. And I think that sounds quite simple, and it's so much easier to say than actually implement, but that is the biggest thing now. I think that one of the most inspiring things from Mo Gawdat's book, I don't know whether he said it in his book or whether it's in one of his podcasts, but like he says that he decides whether he's going to be like affected by something in 7 seconds. And so I try as much to just kind of make a decision on my ability to control anything and how I want to feel about this and work off of that, because I can't spend my life stressed, especially in this job, because it's so uncertain in the job that I do. Anything can happen any day, and I have to just be able to remain on a sort of like wave of calm. So yeah, I think just looking at things and knowing, and I think that sounds so simple, it's almost irritating, but when you understand that you can control your thoughts, and that's the real power, when you actually fully implement that, you're able to control your thoughts around stress.
Absolutely. Ugh. And the last question is, who is the first person you call to share good news?
I mean, obviously my husband.
Oh.
Yeah, like...
He looks like such a good cook, by the way. I'm so jealous.
He's on a journey of self-development in the kitchen himself. So he's like all of a sudden found this like passion for cooking, and I am not against it. I am fully like encouraging this, but no, he's doing so well. But he's just like, he's such a great person as well, and I love that he's so on the same wavelength as me in terms of like wanting to, we spent the last, you know, nearly decade really focused on our careers, and we've like completely changed in that time, and now we're just focused on our happiness. And building happiness with someone is such a joy. Like it's like a double joy of happiness. Because he's focused on this too. It's not just about like, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. It's like, what makes us happy? Let's do more of that.
Oh. So. Honestly, Lydia, this was one of my favorite conversations. Really? I'm genuinely so impressed by you. I can really tell how committed you are to self-development. Like you've obviously taken in so much. The way you express it as well. I think people listening will, there's so many good nuggets of wisdom in this. Like I'm so impressed by you, and I've just absolutely loved talking to you. I feel so uplifted. Genuinely, I'm absolutely buzzing.
I hope that you feel that way. That's amazing. I feel like I was a bit of a grower, you know, like I was so nervous about this. I don't do podcasts very often. And so I get, especially because I'm like such a fan, I was like, oh no, like she's had so many amazing people on her podcast. Like, oh, how am I going to do? But if you that's how you feel, that makes me so happy.
It was just perfect. Yeah. Thank you so, so, so much.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.